Happy Monday. I am back in my house. And let me just tell you, it feels so good to be home. Things are still a little chaotic, but that's okay because I'm navigating it. I'm so grateful to be back at my own home. Our environments impact us so much, but that is not what I'm here to talk about today. Today, I have brought on a very special guest. I have brought on my previous client, Elisa, to share her two-year journey of going from a type A, high-achieving woman who was incredibly hard on herself, shitting all over herself, living in chaos with her family. She's a 44-year-old mom of two, one of which has very special needs, and she had completely let herself go, and her physical and emotional health were suffering because of it. She is on today to share her very powerful story of how she made the smallest changes that have had such a profound impact. And I think you are going to really resonate with her story. She also shares about what came up for her and what was so powerful about being part of the Weight Loss From Within program. Now, if you haven't already heard, this program is open for registration right now. Doors close on July 25th. That is this Thursday, because we kick off this live program on Friday. This is a 30-day deep dive intensive program where I am going to help you get into the stories that are in your head that are holding you back from having the relationship with your body that you want. And you're not going to find it out there. You're not going to find it in the doing, right? So yes, we need to eat healthy. Yes, we need to be moving our bodies. But if we can't rewire the stories that we're telling ourselves, if we can't get our values in alignment with what we say we want, we're just going to go round and round in circles and end up at the same place, right? It's like being on that diet roller coaster, being on that self-deprecating roller coaster. I want you to feel amazing in your body. And what you may or may not have already realized is that starts from inside. It's not from anything that you can do on the outside. It starts with you doing a deep dive into your own stuff. So if you're interested in learning more about this program, you can go to lisacarpenter.ca/WFW, Weight Loss From Within, WFW. The first 10 women who register, and some of these spots have already been taken, are also going to receive a one-to-one coaching call with me to deepen the experience. All the information you need is over on that website, lisacarpenter.ca/WFW, and doors close on July 25th. So without further ado, I'm going to dive into the interview with Elisa. Enjoy. And as always, please head into Instagram, drop into my DMs, and let me know your takeaways. All right, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. And today, I am so honored because one of my previous clients, and still a huge fan, I don't know if you want to call it follower, but she's been so incredibly supportive of my work and my growth. And I am so grateful that I have been part of her life and her journey, is one of my previous clients, Elisa. And today we're going to talk about her transition from when she first started working with me, which, you know, before we hit record, we were saying it's about 2 years ago, right? Is that correct?
Yeah,
about 2 years ago. She came into my EAT program, which is what, you know, my book is based on. And she's gone through my EAT program so she could learn how to fuel her body properly and put her nutrition together. She's gone through my feelings and food program, and she has gone through Weight Loss From Within as well. And she still continues to grow and stay in the work. So I think this is going to be an amazing conversation because it's so powerful when you hear real life stories of people who are in this work. Correct? I know it's powerful for me. So Elisa, tell everybody about who you are and what your life was like prior to finding this work and what you were struggling with.
Well, first I'll say thank you for asking me to come on. I was very touched by the request. I am a 44-year-old mom of two, married, and a working professional. I would say I'm a typical type A personality, and what I was really good at most of my life was working harder and longer and more. That did not give rise to great habits or great self-care. I ignored myself when I was tired and said, drink more coffee. I ignored myself when I was tired and said, stay up later and study more and work harder and just do more. And after having kids, and kids throw a whole other level of energy into your life, as you well know, I just started feeling burnt. I had had some health issues surrounding the birth of my first child, which I had overcome right before having my second. And my weight had been fluctuating a lot. And parenting put into relief the fact that I did not feel like a grown-up. And what I mean by that was I did not eat well. I did not have good habits. I did not have routines. I had chaos that I had been working with and living through. And that wasn't a great solution now that very small, little, vulnerable people were relying on me for consistency and rules and modeling. So I found you, as you know, through our mutual friend Lisa Sharp of ClearCom Space, because I was working on decluttering my life, and I felt like if I just prettied everything up and made everything look nicer, maybe I'd feel more in control, because I felt very out of control. And I did some work with Lisa, and I had to admit that it wasn't about tidying up and making everything look pretty. It was about really habit change. And, you know, being a good student, I would say when I first started working with you, I was great about studying the method. But the method only works when you put it into practice. And when I would try to start making change, my body would just be saying, but I'm tired, but I'm tired, but I'm tired. And I would go into this loop of, it's not going to change, it's not going to change. And I would be very self-defeating about it. Complicating matters, I would say, is the fact that we have a very energetic 5-year-old, a very energetic 9-year-old, and the 9-year-old has some very severe special needs that were frustrating to and hard to deal with and sometimes heartbreaking. And that gave me an extra layer of tired and an excuse to not think anything was really within my control. And I would go through these classes and I would listen to other people and I would, you know, it's very easy for me to listen to other people and say, but you could do X, because by training, I'm a lawyer, so I give people advice for a living. So it's very easy for me to say, but you could do X. It was harder for me to say, here's what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go into my doctor for a physical. I went years without really having a doctor I could talk to. I finally thought, I need a good doctor. You know, and I found one I could talk to, and she would look at me every year like, when are you going to start taking care of yourself? You know, your weight's going up, your numbers aren't great, things need to change. What can you commit to doing that will help yourself, you know, to help yourself? And I would nod, you know, good student, nod, nod, nod. Yes, I know all these things that I can do. And I wouldn't do it. And even when I would be able to kind of fit the pieces of your program together temporarily, I would give myself room to fall apart.
Mm.
And so I think, so this year, I'll fast forward to this year, and I had a physical. And, you know, my doctor looked at me again and she said, you know, here's the weight you gained this year. And by the way, your glucose numbers are up. And you could be looking at being paradiabetic. And my dad had had type 2 diabetes. It runs in both sides of my family. And there's nothing that scared me more than hearing that, because I'd never heard that before, no matter how much weight I'd kind of gained and lost and gained and lost. And I walked out of that appointment. I walked to my car, and I started to cry, really this hard. And I thought, you know, I have to stop telling myself that I can't do this. I can't do this. What I'm doing is not working. I can't do this. You know, and I would hear you talk a lot about finding your why for your motivation. And I would think of it as, I want to be around for my kids. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then, and what I really came down to is, I want to be healthy. I want to stick around. You know, I could be facing some really bad stuff, and nobody can help me out of this but me. I did this to myself, you know. I had to get myself out of it. And I regrouped, and I went home, and I told my husband, I was like, I really need to kick myself in the butt. And the first thing I did was I gave up coffee. And I had to really reckon with how tired I was, because I didn't have coffee propping me up all the time. Because for decades, if I wasn't drinking coffee, I was thinking about drinking coffee, and I was thinking about where my next cup of coffee was coming from, and I would meet friends for coffee, and it was all so I could just stay going, going, going. And what I realized when I kicked coffee, which wasn't actually as hard as I thought it was going to be, was I feel so much less tired now that I'm not running myself like a machine. So that was a big thing. After coffee, I kicked sugar out of my diet, and I stopped eating late at night. I kind of looked at my life, and I thought, you know, my kids aren't going to get less chaotic. My schedule isn't going to suddenly become open. What are the hard parts of my day? Those are the times when I'm not going to eat, because I'm going to be eating at that point out of frustration rather and nerves rather than out of choice. So first thing in the morning is crazy in my house. I don't do anything then except drink herbal tea. Late at night, I'm really wiped out. I'm not going to be eating because I'm hungry. I'm going to be eating because I'm tired. So I carved those two things out of my eating life. And just having rules for myself that I set for myself opened up a lot of freedom, because I didn't have to think about it anymore. And I really wasn't that hungry. And I realized that a lot of my habits were not hunger-produced. They were anxiety-produced. So divorcing food from anxiety was huge. And divorcing, you know, anxiety from caffeine was huge. And I had to just admit that a lot of my life was out of my control and just going to be crazy. And however much I don't like crazy, it's just the season I'm in. So get through it and then achieve some peace and then make better choices. And that sounds... I'm making it sound very easy when it wasn't, but I can say I was really scared by the peri-diabetes diagnosis, by the suggestion that I might have plaque in my carotid artery when my dad had died from a stroke. Those are fairly daunting things to hear. That made me really look at what I was doing to myself.
That is an amazing story. So There's so much you talked about here that I want to circle back from. I was, you know, scribbling down notes as you were speaking, because there's so many things that I want the listeners of this podcast to understand. A lot of women, and this goes for men as well, they're looking for the fix outside of themselves, right? Like, if I can just, like you said, tidy up, make things look nicer, if I can just find the right diet to follow, then I'll feel better. And that's never the answer. And, you know, you also talked about how you were allowing your emotions to dictate your choices, right? Caught in I'm tired, and excuses, and allowing circumstances to make your choices for you instead of being 100% responsible for your life. And that's why this work around creating a healthier relationship with our body is so layered and so complicated and feels so messy, because there's a tremendous amount of inside out work that needs to be done, meaning taking responsibility for our lives. And I love what you said about how, you know, your life wasn't going to stop being chaotic, but you had to stop working from the circumstance of that and say, what are the little things that I can change? And you have to do the doing too. So you have to become the person that is willing to take responsibility, show yourself grace and ease, and you have to do the doing, right? So I see so many women, especially when I was teaching my EAT program, And just like you came in, good students, nodding, right? I got this, I got this, but not actually embodying the information. And, you know, even as a coach over the years, I've had to recognize, and, you know, through all the things that have gone on through my life, is we have to start with the emotional bits on the inside. We have to start with the resistance as to why we're struggling to change before we can take action on the doing things quite often, which is why women end up back in the same place. And what I also hear is from, you know, if you're listening, and like most of my clients, if you're a type A, you're also really hard on yourself. And you make it worse because you know all the things you should be doing, but you still can't get yourself to do the things because you're so caught in all the circumstances that are getting in the way. So although I'm not happy to hear that you had a poor health diagnosis, you know, I believe that as humans, we all have these moments that come to us as wake-up calls, where our hands are really forced. And I wish more people would take responsibility for their stuff before that happened. But the truth is, you know, we're just not wired that way. We are wired for pleasure. And we want to do everything humanly possible to stay out of pain. And when we're changing habits, whether it be big or small, it's uncomfortable.
Well, I'll tell you something else that really helped. I had that appointment with my doctor on February 20th. And around Valentine's Day, a friend of mine from college, who also had some weight struggles long-term, was celebrating 1 year of a lot of weight loss. He found a regimen that worked for him. And since we had lived in close proximity in college, and I knew his eating habits very well, and I knew how we both ate terribly, I watched his journey with a lot of interest because, like me, he's a very driven person, a really good student who didn't always put that attention back on himself. And when he started to find something that worked for him, he was very honest about it and shared what was working for him. And I watched that because it was really, for one thing, he really opened up more than he ever had about how he felt about struggling with his weight. But he seemed emboldened by it and more comfortable and more at ease than I had ever seen him, because as things worked, he just relaxed. And, you know, you used to always say, don't you want ease in your life? And it gave me a great encouragement to really think of what was working for me and what wasn't working for me. I mean, I know when I used to do work with you one-on-one, and we would talk about visualizing the person that would take care of, visualize the version of me that would take better care of myself. And I used to talk about this idealistic version of me that would come down early and make herself breakfast and make sure she was fed in the middle of eating someone, feeding everybody else. Well, you know, interestingly, I figured out that didn't work for me because it was too unpredictable when I would have a little five-year-old running around at my ankles asking for things in the morning. So I didn't really get that time. So I had to give that version of me away and know that the version of me that actually works is the one that comes down, has a cup of tea, doesn't really eat much in the morning, and that's okay because I know that I'll have a better plan for when I'm solo afterwards. And so I don't have that competing idealist notion of I should be doing X, because what I should be doing is what works for me and what I will actually do, not what my perfectionist brain tells me is the right thing.
You 100% nailed it. And, you know, this is why I ask my clients to check in every week and ask themselves what is working and what isn't working, because then we can switch directions, because it's torture. We keep ourselves in purgatory if we keep trying to force ourselves to do something that is literally not working for us, right? There's always another path from point A to point B. And it may not look like the one that you've laid out in your brain.
Yep.
But until you let go of, okay, you know what? This path really isn't working for me. What could work for me? If I gave myself some like grace and compassion here, what could work for me? What am I willing to try to see if I can create the habit changes that I want? And it's not forever. That version of you that comes down in the morning and has breakfast, one day your kids will be grown. And you'll be able to entertain her again. But for right now, it's what do you need to give yourself so you can feel peaceful in your life? Because, you know, you spinning in this chaos all the time was just feeding this, you know, I can't be healthy, I can't take care of myself, instead of allowing yourself to do the smallest things to take care of yourself.
And it was a lot of small things. I mean, I definitely had bad feelings about exercise because I, for various reasons, being athletic, it was challenging. But I decided to kind of turn myself off, that noise off, and I started walking more. And I started making more time to walk. And I started, as I gave up my coffee dates, I made more walking dates. And I found that a lot of my friends really enjoyed that. And so we would get together, we'd walk just for half an hour and catch up or whatever. And it was nice just to feel like I could actually move because I wasn't moving very much. So all these things, even though I felt like I was in constant motion because of chaos going on around me, I wasn't actually moving. And that did not feel very good. And I felt really, you know, achy and all the things you would expect. But when I actually started saying, you know, to myself, you can move, let's figure out a way for that to happen. You know, I canceled the gym membership I never used. And I just started walking outside in some really pretty parks, or we have a long driveway, so I would take my younger son out to get the mail at the end of the driveway every day when he came home from school. And he really enjoyed that. He got on his little bicycle and I walked down and we got the mail. And, you know, it was nothing, but it was 10 minutes and we were together and we were outside rather than being inside, you know, me looking at my phone, him on a screen, whatever it is. You know, we were doing something in the sunshine. So those little things just helped me rethink myself a little bit. And, you know, the weight has been coming off steadily. You know, first it was a lot, then it was a little. Now it's kind of coming off steadily as I just kind of stay consistent. And I remember telling you, that I had the stress in my closet that was causing me a lot of angst because I had bought it when I was at a unrealistic weight right after recovering from an illness, and it just sat there. And every time I looked at it, I thought, oh, I'm never getting into that dress again. And, you know, after you invited me on, I tried on, it fit. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't fit in probably 5 years. And I couldn't bear to, like, put it away or get rid of it. My husband got it for me. And so it was a special gift. But it kept making me feel like it felt like a failure. Because the weight I was when I bought that dress did not feel like something I could achieve being a healthy person. It was something that I had achieved by being ill. So it was great to be able to try that on and see that it fit when I was feeling healthy and actually empowered to take care of myself. And it wasn't, none of this has been as hard as beating myself up and eating junk that really put my health at risk. That was hard. You know, it was hard to be, I feel better in my body having lost some weight. I feel better in my head because I feel more in control of what I do for myself. That's been big. I will say also that when I started this, I started going to bed with my kids. So if they went to bed at 8:30, I would get right in bed and go to sleep because I realized that I had a lot of sleep to catch up on. And that the things that I thought I was catching up on when they were in bed that kept me up too late were not all that important and really didn't move the ball forward that much. So my sleep schedule completely changed. I had never considered myself a morning person. I'd always considered myself a night owl. I would always pull all-nighters in school. And now I'm usually asleep by 10, and I'm getting up pretty naturally by 6 without an alarm for the first time ever.
Wow.
And it feels much more easy because I'm not relying on beeps and coffee to get up.
Right.
That was a great shift for me too.
So what I want to acknowledge you for, and what I want all the listeners to pay attention to, is you had a whole bunch of different stories playing in your head, right? I need coffee to survive. I've got stuff to do when the kids are in bed. You know, movement, exercise means I have to go to the gym. And when you started rewiring those stories and saying, what else is possible for me? What else could I be telling myself? That's when things started to change for you. And this is what I'm so passionate about, is getting my clients and my listeners to understand that everything we tell ourselves every single day is a story. And it's only true because we tell ourselves it's true. And when we let go and we're willing to say, well, what other perspective is here, right? Because I hear over and over again, well, when the kids go to bed, that's the only time for me. And I challenge that. Because I used to be the same way too. I had a full-on tantrum when I had to start going to bed when my little guys were going to bed, because I was like, I'm an adult. I want to be able to stay up late. But I was also suffering with burnout and I needed to rest.
Yep.
Right? I wasn't gaining anything by staying up late. I was actually not giving myself what I need. And when we have the courage to just say, you know what, I'm going to put down this story, because this story I'm telling myself about whether it's going to the gym or eating healthy foods or this one, changing this one little habit won't matter. When we have the courage to change those stories, a tremendous amount happens with a whole lot more ease, because like you said, it's harder to stay stuck in those stories that are literally destroying us, where we're constantly hard on ourselves. We're beating ourselves up. We're not good enough. We're not doing enough. We're not good moms. Why don't we matter? Everybody else, you know, we're blaming everybody else for why we're living the way we're living. When we let go of all of that and just say, what are the small things that I can do that are going to radically change my life? Like to watch how far you've come and to hear now that your weight is coming off, not because you're forcing it, not because you're starving yourself, not because you're pushing yourself, but because you're allowing yourself to step into this new way of being, this new relationship you've created with yourself, this new story you're writing around what it means to be healthy, what it means to be vibrant, what it means to be a mom to little ones, right? Without all the pressure of having to get it perfect. I'm just so proud of everything that you've accomplished.
Well, thank you. And to be clear, you know, I still get very frustrated. I still lose my temper, but less than I used to. I definitely feel like a work in progress, as we all are. But I definitely feel like I know better about what makes me feel good. I feel like the things that make me feel good really actually make me feel good and aren't just pacifiers.
Mm.
I used to read the whole 30 book, and she would say, you know, giving up sugar in your coffee is not hard. Cancer is hard. And I would get really upset with that statement. And I was like, but you don't understand. I reflect on that now, and I think, yeah, I didn't understand.
Right.
What's hard is feeling really awful. That's really hard.
It is.
Nothing I've stopped doing for myself. And it's not to say that, you know, I have birthday cake. I eat birthday cake. I treat myself too. But for things to really be special, they have to be once in a while. And not all sugar is great sugar or worth it or whatever. I mean, I was so sick of getting overtired and eating kid snacks because I was just anxious. And now I'm not doing that because that's not. And not only that, I've changed a lot of things I feed my family. Because I realized how much sugar was affecting me negatively. And I also want to set better habits for my kids so they don't go through the same thing that I've gone through. And they have a different relationship with food. Food is not for boredom. Food is not for love. Food is just to keep you going. And you should enjoy it, but it shouldn't be everything.
Right. You are absolutely melting my heart. This is just, it's really so amazing to hear how far you've come. So I want to talk a little bit about weight loss from within, because that was the last program of mine that you did with me. You did the self-study where you were journaling every day. And I know that that program was really powerful for you in terms of bringing up some of these stories, like really bringing them to the surface to illuminate them so you could see them in a different light. So you, can you speak specifically to that?
Well, you know, I think it really let me hear the voices in my own head and get upset with what I was telling myself, because I heard all the camps that were running through my brain all the time. And I think of myself as a doer and an achiever. And then all this negative stuff and these excuses were running in my head all the time. And the picture of myself that I was feeding back to myself was of a very, I would say, fragile person. And I, you know, I took a good look at that when I was thinking about kind of where things were headed with my health. And I thought, that really isn't me. That's not how I think of my actual story. That's not how I think of my life. And I realized that all the drive and I'm going to call it ambition even, that I was putting out into the universe was really not, was directed away from me. You know, it was directed towards kids. It was directed towards work. It was directed towards husband. It was just directed outward. It was as if I didn't deserve any of it. And I got so annoyed that I forgot myself. That also kind of kicked me in the pants a bit. But I remember very clearly, like, listening to some replays of some calls. And I, you know, as you remember, I had a good friend on one of the calls. And I said to her afterwards, like, we hung up the phone, I was like, who are we? Like, this is not, I don't recognize us at all. And I felt like I had really kind of let myself get lost. And so I needed to remember kind of who I was and the things I really liked about myself and how persevering I can be. And that also gave me a lot of pause and also some impetus for strategizing. What can I do? I am sick of hearing myself say can't. I need to think of something I can do, because I need to be doing this work or nothing's going to happen for me.
It's amazing how, and this is common for all high achievers, right? We put all our emphasis on the things outside of ourselves, our achievements outside of ourselves. And it's so challenging when we have to look at ourselves and realize what you realized. Oh my goodness, I'm so good at accomplishing things out there. But when you ask me to listen to the voices in my head, when you ask me to take responsibility for the things that I'm saying to myself, when you ask me to realize that I'm actually not doing the things for me. I'm willing to do everything for everybody else. I'm willing to accomplish everything out there and be everything for everybody else, but I'm not willing to show up for myself in that way and take responsibility. It's quite painful when we realize I created this.
It was very painful. I used to hate the journaling assignments you would give us because, for one thing, I just didn't want to sit in my brain that much. And I just, like, the stillness of having to write down my thoughts was extremely hard. And I didn't want to hear what was going through my head at all. But, I mean, in the end, we all have to live with ourselves.
That's right. And, you know, it's even some of these themes I've been looking at in my own life, right? Because we can do hard things. I'm great at doing hard things. And I can do hard things with ease. What we don't like doing, though, is being in discomfort. And there's a difference between hard things and discomfort, right? It's uncomfortable when we're changing new habits. It's uncomfortable when we have to sit and be with our thoughts. You know, in my mentor's program, there's an exercise he gives everybody that's 4 hours of silence. When I first did that exercise, and I completely skipped over it for the first two or three rounds, when I finally did it, when I got to the 2 hour mark, I was like, you know, I could bail right now and nobody would know. And that's when things got really uncomfortable. But it was in that discomfort, the discomfort of the next 2 hours that followed, that I really learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about where I bail in my own life when things get uncomfortable. And that is the most powerful part of this work, is I hold people to being in the discomfort, whether it's getting out of their chair and going for a walk, whether it's giving up the coffee, but stop telling yourself you can't, stop saying it's hard, be willing to be in the discomfort. The more you can be willing to be in the discomfort, the more your life will radically transform, and you're not going to die because you're uncomfortable.
Right. Well, I think, I mean, unfortunately, I think we've And as a society, we're so used to constant input, whether that's food input or our electronics or whatever it is, you know, we've lost our ability to be bored and still. And I mean, for me, running from crisis to crisis, especially around my older child, I'd gotten so used to that as an everyday thing. You know, I didn't know what a normal day necessarily felt like, but I really wanted to find out because, you know, I just couldn't keep running like I was in a crisis management center. That's not a life. That is an ER room, and that's not what I wanted for any of us. From that grows a lot of choices about other things too. You know, what's too much on my plate? What is too much? And what choices are not feeling great? But at least I have to think about those all the time instead of just piling it on and just expecting to be able to take more and more and more and more and more.
That's a big part of it, is learning how to say no. And, you know, for everybody listening, the answers that you really need to find, you can only find them in the quiet. Like, you can only find them when you slow down enough to get present to your life. And, you know, we use our kids, our chaos, our circumstances, food, shopping, you know, numbing ourselves on social media, drugs, alcohol. There's so many ways that we can avoid our lives. But when we stop running and we get still, and when we have the courage to do this work, so much can change. And it's not about doing it perfectly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely, as I said, every day is a work in progress there, but I'm doing a little bit better, I think, all the time. And that's felt really good. Like, just noticing the progressions of things that are changing and feel better. But for a lot of things that still I wish could change and will take more time. Yeah, I realize that a lot of times I've gone through different programs, I was expecting quicker results, and I really wasn't stopping to celebrate small successes. You know, just getting off coffee for a couple of days was a success. And I need to just be happy about the fact that, you know, 1 month went by, 2 months went by, 3 months went by. And those were building blocks. Like, I need to celebrate the building blocks and not just look at the end all the time. I was always rushing to the finish line, and then there would be another finish line. So I need to stop running my life as a race.
Yes. You know, I see it all the time, right? We set this high bar of expectations for ourselves. And then even if we get close to the bar, we raise the bar again. And, you know, what most women really struggle to do, especially high achievers, is they don't appreciate the journey. They don't pause. They don't reflect on the little things. And the truth is, you can't get a law degree without all the little classes you've had to do in between, all the little exams you've had to do in between, all the chapters you've had to read, and the practice. And it's in the practicing day to day in this work that really does move us forward. And if more people, you see what I see with my clients and what messes up us all up, and this includes me, we're going along just fine. We're working on what's in front of me today, which is what I encourage everybody to do. What's here today? Because that's really all you have. So you're going along, you're feeling good, you're making these little changes. If you don't stop to acknowledge them, eventually what happens is you look up and you're like, oh my God, I have so far to go. And then all of a sudden you start feeling crappy about yourself because you haven't been acknowledging the movement that you've been making towards that bigger goal along the way. And that's why it's so important to learn how to get quiet, to pause, to reflect, to acknowledge the changes you are making and the impact that it is having on your life. That's the only way you get to the bigger goal. And that bigger goal, it's always a little bit of a moving target.
Well, and also, you know, that validation has to come from within.
Exactly. You know,
it can't be from anyone else. Nobody else is going to notice anything you've done. And if you don't start noticing things for yourself and pausing and celebrating those things, it's never going to work.
Right.
I mean, it's not like nobody noticed that I lost weight, but I have to say it took like 30 pounds. For people to realize that I had actually been working on this quite a bit, which was fine. But I was so happy that I'd actually done it and I'd been able to do this for myself. It didn't matter, you know. it stopped being about what I wanted to show to the world and really started being about what I wanted to show to myself.
Oh, I hope everybody like really paid attention to that, because this is what it's about. It's about no longer searching for external validation. It's about no longer looking for those things outside of yourself and really taking responsibility. You are responsible for your self-worth, for your self-esteem, for celebrating your accomplishments. This is what it comes back to. And, you know, this really shows how far you've come. Because, you know, I remember when you were really struggling to even like yourself and to like your body and to be present to your life, there was so much resistance around everything. So tell me now, please, what is your relationship with your body like today when you see yourself in the mirror? And how do you feel like you treat yourself now?
Well, I think I had to realize that one, everything changed, but nothing changed. So I lost a fair amount of weight. I'm still losing weight. However, the basic shape of my body did not change. All the things that I've been picking apart for years, because I'm a petite, curvy woman, did not change. I'm still a petite, curvy woman. And I'm always going to be that way, no matter how much I weigh or don't weigh. So I had to give up some of the if onlys that were running through my head that used to let me pick myself apart. I'm appreciating how much energy I have more. I'm thinking more in terms of my energy than how things look, even though I like how things are feeling and looking and just what I'm able to do. But the basic thing I appreciate is the fact that I'm able to just have much more energy and I don't feel like I'm on the brink of exhaustion all the time. You know, I'm not getting winded. I'm not getting tired. I don't need to stop for coffee breaks. I can just kind of go throughout my routine. And when I know, and I finally start feeling tired, I know it's because I'm really tired and I'm getting more done and I'm not feeling like overwhelmed by things as much. You know, I've accepted the fact that there is a lot of stuff that I'm working on that's just hard and it's going to be that way and it's going to get worked on. But I'm not taking that out on myself either. I'm not constantly expecting that I should be doing things better or differently. You know, I've found a good method for myself, and it's like, I'm doing okay with what I have to deal with.
Well, from where I'm sitting, it sounds like you're doing more than okay, and that you are still not fully valuing the magnitude of all these changes you've made. So I really want to acknowledge that and reflect that back to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think those habits take a long time to unlearn, and I think I'm getting there. But yeah, it's very hard. As I've said, it's hard just to pause and be happy now. So I think what I'm really trying to work on is appreciating now and how I'm feeling right now. And it may change, it may get better, it may change a little bit, who knows. But if right now is good, enjoy that.
Because right now is really all any of us have. As much as we love to look to the future, it's not here yet. And the future that you want, whatever that looks like, whatever that vision is going to be determined by what you do today, by how you show up today. And you know, what I really hear you saying is that you matter in your life now. You take responsibility for yourself. You make yourself a priority. You've stopped shooting on yourself so much. You've stopped being so hard on yourself. You're giving yourself a lot more grace and compassion. You're allowing things to be easy in your life instead of making everything hard. So we acknowledge that changing habits doesn't feel good and it can take some time. But the commitment to saying these things matter because I matter, my health matters, it's so profound.
Absolutely. That feels really good. And also treating myself as if I matter, other people treat me like I matter more too, because I am leading that by taking care of myself and showing that I care about myself.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to kind of browbeat the people in my life, but when you take yourself care of yourself and treat yourself as someone who matters, your affect is different. Your whole way of being is just different. You have a clear sense of what doesn't work for you and what does. And you're not just acting like you're there to serve other people.
That's right. So now we're talking about boundaries. And the truth is the energy, you know, the energy we give off, because we teach people how to treat us. Yep. So if we're constantly showing up, throwing ourselves under the bus and not taking care of ourselves, other people aren't going to care whether or not they're being good to us or being kind to us. So it's such an important thing to model. You know, as women, we must put down this story that's been passed from generation to generation that we need to martyr ourselves for everybody else. We don't. And the more we take care of ourselves, the more we have to give to the people that we love, instead of constantly trying to give from an empty cup, which is exactly where you are working from. And it's why your health has suffered so much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's also, I think there's something about parenting that I've been just thinking about very deeply going through this, is that everything I do is a model of what my kids are going to do. So if I don't want them to end up here at 44, I need to show them there's a different way to be. Mm. So I've been changing my habits and showing them that this is how you treat yourself. I'm hoping that rubs off.
You nailed it. That is so important, right? We're trying to give to everybody else, but the truth is our kids need us to model what we want for them, because they're not listening to what we say, but they are watching what we do.
Definitely.
They are watching what we do. So I hope that by bringing you on twofold, I think one, you're going to inspire a lot of people with your story who are sitting back saying, I can't do this, I can't do this, and really allowing them to see that there's another perspective to doing weight loss, right? Like weight loss, there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look and feel better in your body, but there's many ways to create those changes, and it doesn't have to be hard. So that's one thing. And just showing women how you can have a very busy, chaotic life and still take responsibility for stepping up how you're showing up for yourself. The second thing is, I hope in bringing you on, part of what I wanted to be able to give you was an opportunity to do some deep self-reflection on your journey, because I know whenever I've had someone hold space for me to share my journey, I'm able to really see and appreciate how far I've come in an even more profound way. So I hope that you're really receiving that for yourself and just really acknowledging your journey over the past 2 years and how radically different, in the best way possible, that this has transformed you. And I'm so honored and grateful that I have gotten to be a part of that, and that, I've had a hand in walking side by side with you in this journey. It's just been such a pleasure and such an honor.
Well, for me too. And I will say that, you know, your confidence that the things that I wanted were achievable for me really stayed in the back of my head. And for anyone who works with you, I'm sure they would agree, your voice gets stuck in my head sometimes. And it took a long time for it to come through clearly, because I had to turn off some of my voices and tune in a little bit more to other things. But when it finally came through, it really did carry me along. And I'm feeling so much more just in control of many things, and it's just so welcome, because it's been a long time coming.
I love that. So before we wrap this up, is there any final thought that you want to leave the listeners with, or anything that you feel like you haven't had an opportunity to share?
I would just say that if you want somebody to change, everything will change and nothing will change. So you cannot, change is not about radically redesigning your entire life top to bottom. It's just about doing small things differently, so you know that different is out there.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. I hope it encourages some of the women who are tuning in to maybe explore jumping into weight loss from within and doing this work from a different perspective. And
definitely, it's definitely hard, but worth it. And also, I would say that in being in a group like yours, when you start listening to other people's stories, it also helps and really start thinking about what your stories are telling you.
Yeah, and that is the power of being in a group, because when we hear other people and the things they're saying to themselves and about themselves, sometimes it helps us hear, wow, I'm saying that to myself, or wow, like I can't believe she would be saying that about herself. And we realize that we're not tolerant of other people being hard on themselves, but we sure are tolerating a lot in ourselves. So that's why I love group programs, because I think the collective learning and just being in a space where there's a lot of compassion and empathy. So many of us have never been heard or seen or witnessed in a way before. And we're carrying a lot of shame about our bodies, a lot of guilt about a lot of things. And when you can come into a room and talk about those openly and feel safe to share, it's amazing how much stuff you put down. That's why I call it weight loss from within, because it's about putting down all the emotional rocks that you are carrying around that are literally robbing you of your joy and feeling fulfillment and feeling any type of ease or satisfaction in your life or with your body.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be... thank you so much for coming on. I so appreciate you. And thank you for tuning into the podcast every week, because I know that you are a dedicated listener as well. And I love that you pop into my DMs and share with me your insights and your takeaways from the podcast. And that's what I mean for anybody who's listening. You know, she stays in the work. Elisa stays in the work. She tunes in. She still challenges herself to see what else is here for me. And she just stays open. And that's what creates change, is that willingness to just stay open. So thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you so much. And until the next episode, take good care of you today.
Take care.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Full Frontal Living Podcast. As always, I would love to hear your feedback, your thoughts, your takeaways from these episodes. So please find me over on Instagram at Lisa Carpenter Inc. Drop into my DM. I'm always happy to interact with my listeners and share with me what you got out of this episode. And if it really spoke to your heart, by all means, share it with your friends, post it on social media, and please leave a rating and a review on iTunes. This is what helps other men and women just like you find this podcast. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are so many A-type, high-achieving men and women out there that don't even realize that these perspectives are available to them. So please, if you haven't done so already, go and leave a rating and a review. I would be forever grateful. And I will see you on our next episode.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.